Good morning. If you can open your Bibles today to Acts chapter 21. We're going to finish chapter 21 and then we're going to just roll right into chapter 22 and go through verses 1 through 23 there. And I titled this Paul's Testimony. And normally I would go through and read all these verses to you. But because it's so long and the time we have here, I decided we're just going to go through them verse by verse and discuss them. So just a little change of pace how I'm going to do it today. If you recall, Paul arrived in Jerusalem, ending his third missionary trip. And we saw that he shared with them everything that God had done among the Gentiles throughout that ministry time. They all glorified God for this, but then they mentioned that numerous Jews had come to believe in Jesus Christ, but they were still zealous for the law. And they said, oh, by the way, many reports have come back that you have been teaching to forsake Moses, not to be circumcised or walk according to the customs. So this, of course, was not true, but the damage was done. So they came up with a plan. So James and the elders requested that Paul should go with four other men who were about to undergo a Jewish ritual to purify themselves. Not only should Paul join them, but with the money he had brought, he should pay their way, pay their expenses also. So Paul agreed, and we know that Paul would do whatever it takes to reach out to people. It said in 1 Corinthians 9:19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." We then saw that the Jews from Asia, seeing Paul in the temple towards the end of that 7 days he was there, laid hands on him, made false accusations, saying, "This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and defiled the holy place," which we know was not true. But they grabbed Paul, took him out, shut the doors, and commenced beating him. And then the Romans saw it, came in, they ceased beating him, and the Romans took him and shackled him. So let's pray, and then we'll get started with this. Heavenly Father, we so just are thankful for this time that we have together, and that you allow us to be able to come together like this, not only to go through your word, Father, to learn more about you, but to learn how Paul was, Father, and how you used him. It is so awesome to see. And I pray, Father, that we would see it today, that you would speak to us. And Lord, I thank you so much for this time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we start off in chapter 21, verse 37. It says, "Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, 'May I speak to you?' He replied, 'Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins into the wilderness?'" Now, I can imagine Paul here, but that historian Josephus wrote this. Apparently, there was an Egyptian who pretended or claimed to be a prophet. And he deceived around 4,000 people, leading them into the wilderness. And the plan was to go up to the Mount of Olives and that the wall of Jerusalem would fall down. And they would go in and take Jerusalem and rule it. However, Felix got wind of it. And during the battle, about 400 were killed, 200 were captured. The rest got away, including the Egyptian who was leading them. Basically a false prophet. And you can imagine Paul's face at being called an Egyptian because he was a Jew. So Paul sets the record straight. He says, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I implore you, permit me to speak to the people." Now, Paul responding here, "No, I'm not the Egyptian, but I'm a Jew." And he basically just told him, "I'm a citizen." So now the guard is probably thinking, you know, a little confused, realizing now that Paul is a learned free man. And he speaks Greek. He's not that Egyptian he thought he was. And you wonder where he got that idea from. So why not let him speak? Maybe they could figure out why he's here and what's going on. So in verse 40 it says, "So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." Paul motions with his hands, and an entire crowd goes quiet. And they were just recently beating him, trying to kill him. And Paul addresses them, though, as brethren and fathers. Stephen, when he gave his testimony before the council, before they stoned him, called them brethren and fathers, and he said, "Brethren and fathers, listen." So this was a usual way to address, like, the Sanhedrin. It was respectful, showing that Paul now and Stephen back then was rendering honor or being respectful to the people and to the leadership, even though they tried to kill him. Maybe he was remembering Proverbs 15. It says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." But we also see now he wants to defend himself. And the word defense here in the Greek is apologia, where we get the term apologetics from, the defending of the faith, apologetics. And he wanted to witness or defend himself to these people. He wanted also to be respectful for them because he wanted them to listen to him. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent than he said. So he speaks to them in Hebrew now. And I can imagine the guard thinking he was going to speak in Greek and figure out what was going on. Now he's completely lost. So they quiet down all the more because now he's speaking to them in their language. He has their attention, something he probably wanted a long time ago when he wanted to talk to them, and we'll read about that a little later. He says, "I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you are today." Paul was taught the law. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel and learned it. He was zealous towards God. And we know Gamaliel was a Pharisee. If you recall Peter and the other apostles when they were brought before the council, starting in Acts 5:28, and I'll just read this. "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." In other words, you were making us look like murderers. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And they heard this and they were furious and they wanted to kill him. And you go on in verse 34, but it says, "Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while." And basically he turned to the council and said, "Look, remember Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody and people followed him, and then he was killed and it came to nothing. Remember Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census. He drew away many. Then he perished, and all who obeyed him dissipated. It came to nothing." And he goes in verse 38, and he says, "And now I say to you, keep away from these men, and let them alone, for it is this, if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." So while not a Christian, as far as I could tell in any of the research I got, Gamaliel was a wise man. Not only was he wise, but he was one of Israel's greatest rabbis for the law. So Paul taught in according to the strictness of the Father's law and was zealous towards God, as they are. So he's telling the people he grew up learning the law. He learned there in Jerusalem. He was one of them, aligning himself or letting them know, "Gosh, you know, I'm just as zealous for God as you are." And he goes on in verse 4, and he says, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. I was so zealous for God and the law of Moses that I chased these believers of the way down. I persecuted them. I put them in prison. In fact, he was probably saying, I'm more zealous than you are. Look, the high priest and the elders now, men you hold in high esteem, can bear witness to this. And you can very easily verify my story. Recall two or three witnesses, a matter is established. Paul telling them, I was more zealous for the law than most of you, and I can prove it. So we see Paul in the beginning of his testimony as he's going through this. He's speaking in their language so they would understand what he's saying. He's connecting with them. I am a Jew, I am zealous for God also, just like you. I persecuted Christians the way. Paul professing his sin and what he did. And he had witnesses to the way he was, his character, before he met Christ. Now it happened, in verse 6, now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. Paul mentions that it was noontime. And that light was brighter than the sun at noon. It was a great light. And he probably mentions that because if it was dawn or dusk, somebody could say, well, it must have been like a flash of light, a solar flare. If people later on down the line could make up all sorts of excuses. But with the sun bright in the sky, there's no excuse. This was a bright light. Something was happening. The glory of God. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Jesus telling Paul, you're persecuting me. I am the object of your contempt and scorn. So when Christians are persecuted, Jesus is persecuted. Says in John 15, 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. They were zealous for God, but hated Christians. And you take that by extension, they hated Jesus. And you look at John 15, 23, it says, he who hates me hates my Father also. Being zealous for God, persecuting his people, they were persecuting God. And I'm thinking, you know, when he says, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, that Paul sitting there thinking, and I go down these rabbit trails sometimes, I'm thinking, boy, I thought you were crucified on the cross. They buried you in Joseph's tomb.